Well, welcome to the day in the church calendar for which preachers prepare the most and the day for which they are least prepared. Because, I mean, like, really? What to say? Now, I know y'all are here for all sorts of reasons this morning. Some of you are even here under duress. But the majority of you are here because this story that we're about to share again, this story that the scripture tells us the men believed was nonsense when the women first related it to them. And not just any men, but the ones we now call saints and apostles. Most of you are here because this story means something to you. Most of you who are here have decided for yourselves that even though it is fantastical, supernatural, it is not nonsense. And somewhere in your heart or your head or your spirit or some combination of the three, you have decided that this story holds truth for you, matters to you, and you are here among friends to whom it matters also. There's a lot to say about the story, a lot to say about Jesus. In John's gospel, we're told that there are so many things that Jesus did that if they were all written down, the whole world could not contain the books that would be written. Well, that's a lot of area to work in. So I'm going to talk about the story this morning in the context of one idea. The idea we've been talking about all Lent long, which is walking the Jesus way. Last winter, I picked up a book called Grandma Gatewood's Walk. Emma Gatewood was the first solo female thru-hiker of the 2,168-mile Appalachian Trail. Emma had no special training, no special equipment. In the early 1950s, she found a discarded copy of the National Geographic magazine and saw in there an article about the Appalachian Trail. And the description and the photographs captivated her. And she thought it was something that she could do. All that was needed, the article said, was normal good health and no special skill or training. So with no tent, no sleeping bag, just a shower curtain to keep the rain off, her canvas kids, and some clothes and food in a homemade denim bag, she set off. When she couldn't find shelter, she slept on piles of leaves. On cold nights, she heated large flat stones to use as a warm bed. She ate berries and other edible forest plants that she recognized when she ran out of food. And did I tell you she was 67 years old? In reading about Emma Gatewood, I came across a different quote from a book called Wanderlust, A History of Walking, and that has framed our Lenten theme. Let me share it with you one last time. A path is a prior interpretation of the best way to traverse a landscape. And to follow a route is to accept an interpretation, or to stalk your predecessors on it as scholars and pilgrims do. To walk the same way is to reiterate something deep, to move through the same space the same way as a means of becoming the same person and thinking the same thoughts. And so we've been talking about walking the Jesus way, to accept his interpretation of how to walk through this life, to follow him so closely and with such commitment and intention that our actions and thoughts become like his. So with all that as backstory, we get to the big story, the Easter story, which this morning we are hearing from the Gospel of John, beginning in the 20th chapter. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. And just like that, this Jesus that Mary has loved and learned from and followed, who has been close enough to touch, no longer is. "Do not hold on to me," he says. "You've been walking with me for a while now, following closely, but I'm leaving this physical realm. And don't worry, you can still walk with me." Here we are 2,000 some years later, and the invitation is still offered to us. We've never had the gift of being close enough to touch, but we have all the stories of those who were. And they are more than enough. Add to that the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and we're on our way. On this Easter morning, I'd like to offer you for a final time some possibilities for walking the Jesus way. Walking the Jesus way now that he is risen and the alleluias that we buried so carefully 6 weeks ago are still ringing in our ears. The first thing about walking the Jesus way is that you must walk your own path. Throughout Lent, it may have sounded like I'm telling you how to walk the Jesus way, exactly what the Jesus way is. But no, if we follow a resurrected Jesus, if we believe him to be the living word, then the Jesus way is not a path carved in stone or paved with asphalt. What I'm inviting you to do is follow Jesus closely enough that your thoughts and actions become like his. I would love to live in a world in which we're all walking the Jesus way, or walking the way of the Buddha, or walking the way of Yahweh, or some divine embodiment of love. As Christians, we can learn from the disciples, and we can learn from the Gospels, and we can learn from each other, but ultimately we determine what our path is. Sherry and I went to PetSmart this weekend to pick up some pet food for Jack and Sadie, some dog food. And we went together. It's the same one we always go to, the same PetSmart. And I turned in the main road, and we were going sort of parallel to the shopping area. And I had just turned on the main road, and Sherry said, "Turn, turn. This is where you turn." And that's not where you turn. So I kept going, and I was getting a little nervous. I was going to where you turn, and I kept going, and but she continued. But that was the turn. That was the turn. So I got all flustered, and I turned at the very next turn, and I turned into a parking lot that was a complete dead end. We've been to that PetSmart forever, but not together. And she takes the first turn in, and I take the third turn in. We both get there with no problems, except when we're together. Ultimately, we determine what our path is. The second thing is to pay attention. Mary stayed in the garden after the other disciples went back home. She wasn't ready to give up yet. And she noticed the gardener and she asked, "Have you seen him?" And what transpires was one of the greatest scenes in history. "Mary," Jesus said. And she knew him. "Teacher," Mary said. It's so easy, especially at Easter, to get caught up in theologies and philosophies to parse the resurrection. Was it an actual bodily resurrection? Was it something else? All of that cannot take you as far as just paying attention. Paying attention to your life. Mary Oliver offered us a brief poem, "Instructions for Living a Life." Pay attention. Be astonished. Tell about it. That's what Mary did. Walking the Jesus way means being intentional about the path that you walk. To accept an interpretation, remember, is to stalk your predecessors as pilgrims do. To walk the same way is to reiterate something deep. Here's the thing, it seems to me. Few of us are forging new paths. We are following others whether we realize it or not. I hope you will make it a path of your own choosing, especially in this age of information everywhere, when we can see more, read more, react to more than ever before. If you want to walk the Jesus way, you need to surround yourself with influences and stimuli and people who can encourage you on that path. Todd Henry tells a story in his book, The Accidental Creative. It's the story of an illustration of how environmental stimuli subconsciously affects our mental processes. British psychologist, illusionist Darren Brown invited two members of an ad agency to pitch concepts for a chain of taxidermy stores that he was proposing to build. The ad execs, with no previous knowledge of why they were being summoned, were taken on a long taxi ride and then escorted into an office building where they were given instructions and told they had just 30 minutes to develop a poster for the taxidermy chain, including store name, tagline, and visuals. Brown also placed a sealed envelope containing his own concepts on a table to be opened later. After 30 minutes elapsed, Brown reappeared in the room to check on their work, and the execs pitched a concept that they called Animal Heaven, featuring an illustration of a bear playing a lyre And the tagline, the best place for dead animals. After their pitch, Brown asked one of the execs to open the envelope he placed in the room at the very beginning, and to their surprise, the envelope contained a poster nearly identical to the one the ad execs had just created, including a bear holding a lyre and a very similar tagline. Brown revealed to them at that point that he had planted various stimuli along the taxi route that the execs were sure to see. These items included a lyre, a poster with the phrase, the best place for dead animals, and a trip past the London Zoo. All of these things had made subconscious impressions that were quick to reemerge as the execs scrambled to come up with their campaign. Friends, we are regularly bombarded by stimuli. We should be intentional about who and what provides the stimuli that we allow into our minds. And finally, on this Easter morning, you might be wondering, why bother? What exactly is the goal of walking the Jesus way? Well, simply put, it is to see things as Jesus did. Turn over the tables when things have been trapped underneath that need to be released. Roll away a few stones when things need new life. If you are walking the Jesus way, you will not always have the right answers. You won't be immune from suffering. You will not always make the right choices. But as you wade into the swirling waters of politics and power struggles, you'll have a centered place to start from. Jesus won't tell you whether a father of three is guilty of crimes the public doesn't know about, or whether he should be freed or imprisoned and where, or what exactly is due process. And Jesus won't tell you how to cure or care for the sick or feed the hungry when millions and millions of dollars have been withdrawn from federal programs. Jesus won't tell you whether school vouchers will spur public education to greater efficiency in educating our kids, or whether they are simply helping the rich get richer. Jesus won't tell you whether the weapons or the mental health of the ones wielding them or 1,000 other things are responsible for school shootings. But if you are trying to walk the Jesus way, to follow him closely, to place the events of your life under the lens of his life, I trust that you won't lose hope, and you will not, as some of us fear, become desensitized to the lives of those around you. Finally, if you've ever stood in the main concourse at Grand Central Terminal and looked up, you've seen a celestial mural depicting a starry night sky with 2,500 stars and 12 gold leaf constellations. Within the constellations, some of the more significant stars are illuminated by embedded lights. Here's the thing that some of you know, and some of you will notice the zodiac was painted backwards. According to Grand Central's founder, Cornelius Vanderbilt, it was painted backwards to give the observer the divine perspective, to appear as though we are standing next to the resurrected Jesus looking upon the earth and its people. Now, don't go getting caught up in the theology or the theory or the impossibilities of bodily resurrection or the geography of heaven. Walking the Jesus way, following so closely that our thoughts and actions become like his, allows us to look upon the earth and to look into the face of everyone we encounter with love, with compassion. It's not that we cannot have opinions, principles, philosophies, mission statements, deal breakers, boundaries. It's that when we choose to walk the Jesus way, we have a companion in every situation. Here's the thing I didn't mention this morning. No matter what path you decide to walk, someone is going to be walking behind you, paying attention to how you treat people, paying attention to what you care about. Every so often in our church, we get the opportunity to take a young one or an adult into the midst of us and say, we are going to try, for your sake and ours, to walk the Jesus way and to show you by our words and our thoughts and our actions God's love in Jesus Christ. This morning,